Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your loving kindness and for your tender mercies. We thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who knew no sin but became sin unto death on the cross. Lord God, we thank you, and so we lift high the cross of Jesus Christ. Let all the world proclaim, yes, Lord God. And so we pray now that you'll be here with us by your Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, with all of your quickening power, be among us so that we can be revived. Give us what we need to face another day, another hour, another minute. Lord Jesus, another week. And speak now, Lord God, for we've gathered here and online to hear a word from you. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me under submission to your will behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, because you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer, our Savior and our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. So my sermon title today is It's Personal. It is personal, or it's personal. So let me begin with a little bit of statistic, which is true. Let me begin with some true statistics. And it says 50 countries where it's most dangerous to follow Jesus in 2021. I did print out the article myself. It's about 12 pages. I'm going to read it afterwards. I saw it yesterday. It says every day 13 Christians worldwide are killed because of their faith. And every day 12 Christians are unjustly arrested or imprisoned, and another 5 are abducted. So reports the 2021 World Watch List, called the WWL, the latest annual accounting from Open Doors of the top 50 countries where Christians are the most persecuted for following Jesus. David Curry, president of Open Doors, says, "You might think the list is all about oppression, but the list is really all about resilience. The numbers of God's people who are suffering should mean that the church is dying, that Christians are keeping quiet, losing their faith, and turning away from one another. But that's not what's happening. Instead, in living color, we see the words of God recorded in the prophet Isaiah. I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The listed nations contain 309 million Christians living in places with very high or extreme levels of persecution, up from 260 million in last year's list. That in these persecuted countries, the numbers are going up. This year, the top 10, and some folks are going to be surprised, in this year, the top 10 worst persecutors are relatively unchanged. After North Korea is Afghanistan, followed by Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Eritrea, Yemen, Iran, Nigeria, and India. Many people don't know that. China joined the top 20 for the first time in a decade due to ongoing and increasing surveillance and censorship of Christians and other religious minorities. The purpose of the annual WWL rankings is to guide prayers and to aim the more effective anger while showing persecuted believers that they are not forgotten. And so we see that the top countries we know about: North Korea, Afghanistan, followed by Somalia, Libya, Pakistan, Eritrea, Yemen, Iran, Nigeria, and India. Our Christians are persecuted. And then there is the top 20, and they go on. You see, following Jesus, friends, is personal. It is personal, you see. We make a personal choice, right? We make a personal choice to follow Jesus. No matter how big the group is, no matter how big the church is, we make a personal choice. This week coming up, I'm going to have two funerals, and I've been thinking. I did not plan these funerals. You can't plan a funeral, so I meant I did not know about them ahead of time. But one woman, you don't know her. Her name is Mary Castle, and the family sent an email that she passed away, and she was 87. She was living in South Carolina, and she had been a Roman Catholic, raised her children Roman Catholic. I guess when the husband passed away, she moved to South Carolina with some friends, you know, for retirement. And she became United Methodist. And so Missy got the email, and she told me about the email, and we called up. And sometimes I get names of people, and I don't know if they were a long-time member here. But she was not. And after talking to the children back and forth, and I says, why am I going to do this? I end up finally saying, yes, it conflicts with something I'm doing, but I'm going to do it on Tuesday. And they said she was such a believer. I spoke to her pastor yesterday, the new pastor, that she was always praying, and she was in charge of the prayer chain, and that she was such a wonderful woman. I think she had 7 children. And so I asked the son yesterday, how did she die? And they said, you know, she found her sitting in her chair, and she was reading her Bible and a book, and a Bible study book. And I thought, religion is personal, isn't it? Following Jesus is personal. And I know that she followed Jesus. She had made the choice to follow Jesus. And then 2 days ago, I heard that Mr. Angara, he didn't really come to this church, but whenever we had anything, he would show up and help out. He has 4 children. I think I confirmed 3 of them: Samantha, Sabrina. If you see them, you'll remember they're grown now. Cosmo and Anthony died suddenly. Aww. Died of a heart attack on Monday, 50-something years old. And they called up and asked me to do the funeral on Tuesday, and I says I cannot, I'll do it on Wednesday. And as I was thinking about it, then I got a call or a text from Kingston Moses, that his uncle died in India. They're there now, and I begin to think each of those individuals either have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ or they don't. You see, friends, it is not about other people's faith. It's about our faith with Jesus. Amen? It's about what we believe, because tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Right? And God can call each and every one of us home at a moment. The Bible tells us that Peter is going to make his declaration about Jesus. It says, when Jesus went with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and I've been to that place, and on the way he asked his disciples, who do you say that I am? Who do they say? Who do people say that I am? That's such a human question, right? Because we really want to know who people say we are. We all want to. Some interpreters say that it was our human, and others says no, it is a more divine message. But whatever it is, who do people say that I am? And they answered him, John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and others one of the prophets. And he asked them, here is a question for us today. He asked them, but who do you say I am? And Jesus is asking us today, who do you, all of us, me included, say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Messiah, and he sternly ordered him not to tell anyone at that moment. Peter really did not know what it meant to say that you are the Christ or the Messiah. We'll see that later on. But the question for us today, again, is, but who do you say I am? Jesus is asking each and every one of us. You don't have to answer me. The answer is to him. You see, it's not what your mother say. Some people says my mother was a Christian and my grandmother was a Christian, and so I am a Christian. It has nothing to do with that. Maybe they introduce you to the faith, but it has nothing to do with that. Not what your mother say. It's not what your father say. It's not what your brother or your sister say. It's not what your grandparents say, friends. It's not what whomever say. It is what you say who Jesus is in your life. Do you believe Jesus is only a prophet? Do you believe Jesus is a wise man? Do you believe that Jesus is a kind man, a teacher, a preacher, a healer, a provider, a protector, a friend, a savior? Yes, he's all of that and more. But is he your savior and Lord? Are you under his lordship? Have you surrendered your life to him? Have you said, yes, Lord, yes to your will and your way? I surrender my life to you no matter what. And the Bible tells us then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering. Now he's really telling them who he is and what he is going to be doing. And he says he's going to undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days, raise again. He said this quite openly. And then Peter took him aside and wanted to rebuke him, and said, no, you're not going to die. And then he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You cannot stop the word of God. You cannot stop the work of God. So Jesus knew what he came for, and he came to suffer and die for you and for me. Do we get that? Do we understand it? Do we receive it? You see, following Jesus, we are asked to follow Jesus in good times and in bad times. We who decide to follow him are asked to follow him during ups and downs, good times and bad times. And that's why Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to take up your cross and follow me. Amen? Amen? You're going to understand, and then you're going to have to deny yourself and follow me. Does he mean we're denying to eat food? Does he mean we're denying our houses and our cars? No. He's saying you have to deny all other gods, all other lowercase gods. Deny them and follow me. For I am the one who will come. You see, it is important, friends. A songwriter named Donnie McClurkin wrote a little song that said, it says, Jesus, wonderful Jesus, he's Savior and he's Lord, and he's our God. He says he's not Buddha. He says he's not Buddha, he's not Krishna, he's not Muhammad, he's not Allah. He is the only living God. And we declare that he's the only living God. And when you know he's the only living God, there is no mixing. There's no synchronism. You can't mix a little bit of Hinduism and a little bit of Jesus. You can't mix a little bit of Islam and a little bit of Jesus. You can't mix a little bit of voodoo and a little bit of Jesus. There is no mixing. He is the only living God for Christian believers. You can't mix a little bit of African religions and mix Jesus. He's clearly the only living God for us who believe. And we must stand and believe. Stand up and believe. As the song says to us today, lift high the cross of Jesus. And we not only are going to lift the cross of Jesus when we're in here, in church, when it looks good, when nobody's watching. We're supposed to be lifting it outside, everywhere. People must know that we are Christians. They must understand that and they must see the light of Christ coming through us, shining through us, and understand that we are Christians. They'll know we are Christians by our love. Who do you say I am? Who do we say Jesus is this morning? Who do I say Jesus is? Ah, Lord, he's my everything, you see. He's the one, he's the lily of the valley, they say. He's a bright and morning star. At the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's Lord, he's Lord. He has risen from the dead and he is Lord. Jesus, wonderful Jesus. We worship and adore him because we know that he's our Savior and our Lord. And so James reminds us, we better tame our tongues, right? Because he tells us, he says, we use our tongues sometimes and we bless the Lord with it. And with it we curse those who are made in his likeness. If we're Christian believers, we must what? Tame our tongue. We must know what comes out of our mouth. Because if we're not glorifying Jesus, then we're using our tongues for the wrong thing. He says, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brother and sisters, this ought not to be so. He says, does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives or a grapevine figs? No more can salt yield fresh water. Jesus said, we must know, and James is reminding us, out of our mouths must come the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must know what we are using our mouth for. Is Jesus our Savior and Lord this morning? The song we sing in church says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And the scripture online there, as you could see, it says, then he called the crowd to him again and with his disciples and says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it is for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? And what does he mean by that? When we have to lay down our lives and take up our cross, it means that the things that we desire that are not of God, we must lay it down. Lay it down for Jesus and follow him. And then we'll have life and have life eternal and have life abundantly if we follow Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So I want you to ponder these words. When you go home, who do I say Jesus is? Ask yourself, pondering it. What does it mean for my life? Is it just fashion? Is it just church membership? Is it just because we're in a club called church? What does Jesus mean to me? And once we ask ourselves that, then we can start to work on ourselves. Because Jesus is willing and able to walk with us through whatever changes we need to make. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.